At 10:41, we chat to Omar van Rienen from Equal Namibia and Rodelio Lewis, Drag Night Namibia. The conversation we'll have through till 11 o'clock this morning is how activists are growing LGBTQ plus rights in Namibia. Welcome to the both of you. Great to have you with us.
Hi. How are you, Clarence?
I'm lekker. Now, let me just tell you, I started my radio career in Windhoek.
Really?
In 1990.
Where were you working?
At Namibian Broadcasting Corporation.
I work there right now. So we're following in your footsteps.
Yeah, yeah. I was the first black man on the English service of Radio Namibia.
Wow.
Amazing. And then I did with the National Service of Radio.
Yes,
Namibia,
National
well,
FM.
All
yes.
The stations, language stations, come together. And if it wasn't for Namibia, and that was independence here, I probably wouldn't have been a DJ. So ik is by lief vir julle land.
Wow. So you know Mario Locke.
It's a long time ago, no?
Ah, so,
Mario Locke doesn't ring a bell. It's a long time ago, 1990. Now, Weld Tyson, that's the one name that I remember. She was the manager of the English service of Radio Namibia, and I believe she's living here in Cape Town somewhere.
Wow.
But yeah, so I was fortunate to spend some time during independence in that city, Windhoek. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I love that city. Komasdal, Katatura.
Hey. Say Jos.
Kenali, Hachis, and I Blika. Had great times on your coastline. I love Hentys Bay especially. And I also walk to your entire country. I hitchhiked.
Wow.
All the way through the Caprivi to Katima Molilo over the Zambezi River, right through Zambia as well.
Yeah.
You've got a beautiful country.
Thank you so much.
We love Cape Town. So
yes.
We have much affirmation for South Africa and Cape Town as well.
And there's something special about Windhoek especially, but it's such contrast. And I'm painting this picture because I think it's an important part of the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got 2.4 million people living in
Well, we just hit 3 million now.
Yeah. Without census. Yes.
Yalla mo TV's crying.
Oh, it's just my dad now.
Because it was 2.4 million in 2022.
Interesting. Yeah, exactly.
But you are one of the most the second most sparsely populated country in the whole wide world. Mongolia is
the first.
Yes.
Yeah, so very few people on very much land.
Yes.
Yes. So Namibia does feel like a house sometimes. It's just like one community.
One big family.
Yeah. But I think that's also how we've been able to find community and whatnot. So it's big enough to get away with things, but small enough for people to know. Oh,
you're too many.
I like the way you're big enough to get away with things. But the contrasts are real. You've got traditional African values in the north, the most populous part of your country.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've got a lot like Cape Town, a very cosmopolitan urban center in Windhoek, and maybe on the coast as well, too.
Yes, exactly.
So how many people in Windhoek specifically?
Under 500,000.
Mm. Exactly.
And that's how
and the other 2.5 million is predominantly north.
Yes.
Okay. So traditional values, African values, are they often at odds with LGBTQ plus rights?
Yes. I think that's like at the forefront of it all, because I think when you even like just look at African values, the current narrative of African values is that queerness is an African. So it doesn't fit into the broader scheme of what African values stand for. So it's seen as an abomination. It's seen as it shouldn't be here. It's seen as a Western import. So it's not seen as African. So
it was absolutely part of my reality in 1919, Windhoek.
Yeah. It's always been there. We've always been here.
It's not as if you can wish it away.
Exactly.
Okay, so where's the conflict then? Because it's not necessarily imposing in whatever other values exist in the north, for example. Where's the conflict? How is the conflict?
I would say the conflict is, hey, to accept queer people in Africa is to have a lot of introspection and reflection with the way the world is structured today. Especially for Africans, we've had a lot of things imposed on us culturally, traditionally, from colonialism to apartheid, and it's taken a lot away from our identities, right? So to accept queer people and realize that queer people have been here in African culture way before religion came to Africa, it would then have to accept that fact. You know, that queer people were celebrated in Africa, we were like part of like our ancestry, and some of us were even like
the intersex
chiefs.
People were seen as spiritual healers. They were deities. They were celebrated in communities. And it's we've always been part of the storyline, and the erasure of that storyline now comes in after the import of Western narratives and the religious extremists coming in and changing the whole demographic of what is African.
And that's the import homophobia, not homosexuality, to Africa.
Got you. So is queerness outlawed in Namibia? Is it illegal to be queer?
No, it's not illegal to be queer. But because of the 1970s sodomy law that was imposed and inherited on us as Namibians from the apartheid regime in South Africa, because Namibia was part of South Africa, we were the 10th province, we were the Southwest Africa, right? So when we got our independence in 1990, that law stayed on the books. But it wasn't voted by a democratically elected Namibian people with their newfound freedom and rights.
So it's an old law.
It's an apartheid era law in a democratic post-apartheid born free Namibia. And this law only criminalizes sexual acts between men only, not lesbian women, not between trans people and whatnot, just men. But it has casted a cloud of permissible discrimination upon the entire queer people. Mm. The police won't pursue a case because sodomy is illegal, so therefore queers are illegal. Mm. The Ministry of Home Affairs are going to reject the citizenship application of a child born through surrogacy to a gay Namibian couple married in South Africa because sodomy is a crime. Why are we giving these people a right to found a family? So there's been many issues litigated because sodomy law is the basis of discrimination for everyone.
Mm. So we've been receiving a lot of reports. Let's call it intolerance for now. Mm. Let's call it maybe even homophobia for now. From a lot of Africa. There was Zimbabwe, there's Uganda. And at Gonsu here and there. Okay. Now the question is, are members of the queer community being a little more assertive about their rights? Or is it that all of a sudden there's now people saying, no, this shouldn't be part of our society on the continent of Africa?
If we're going to say assertive, I don't think it's like an aggressive assertive. It's something that's been happening like slowly for a very long time.
There's a pride that comes.
Yes.
There's a growing pride, and it's now in people's...
The visibility of what we're doing is just...
And people are feeling threatened?
That's it.
Are they scared that maybe just there's a queer there?
A little bit of queer inside of them. And I think at the end of the day, if we really do like deconstruct what gender is, and as a drag artist, that's what we do. We're all about deconstructing gender and like literally challenging the gender binary. If we really let go of all of these societal expectations that have been placed on us from like a young indoctrinated era where we're like, you must be a boy. If you're a boy, then this is what you need to consign to. If we start to like analyze these rules that we just somehow accepted, we really will be able to like understand that there's more to life than what we're allowing ourselves to see right now. Because it's really just, how are you upset that I'm wearing a dress? What about that has affected you on the inside? How is me identifying as what I'm identifying? How does it upset you? What does it affect in you? Does it make you question? Does it make you see something in yourself that you're not able to project? That you, it's like, is life here looking good so that you now feel upset? Like, what is the chat?
Yeah. I get it. So it's in the expression of pride that debates are... Yeah. are being sparked. Mm. And I think those are very important debates.
Yeah.
Very important debates, and you just must not stop being proud.
Yes, proud. Exactly.
So that these debates can develop into something. So we don't really necessarily see the political kind of skirmishes or the imposition by the law in Namibia to the extent that we see it in Uganda.
Exactly. Yes.
Or in Zimbabwe for that particular. Is there a... solidarity between queer communities on the African continent? Do we speak to each other?
Yes, but because of our varying contexts also, no. And I am...
What do you mean by varying context?
Well, we've been subjected to like colonialism in different ways and aspects, right? So that has impacted how far we've been able to come as a community regionally, right? Us in Anglophone Africa, Southern Africa have progressed so much through litigation, through members of parliament overturning laws, than people in North and Western Africa, right? And the community there has not been as resourced as much as us as well. So we have a certain privilege to us as well, you know. But again, everything is goes down to colonialism that has impacted us up until this day, you know. What is changing now is really the weaponization of our community's rights for cheap election points, right? Our governments haven't been able to deliver on their post-independent liberation mandates, right? And they keep on going every election cycle, we're going to build more houses, free education, whatnot, and they don't deliver on that. So what they do is what they actually see from the West, and they import culture wars for political points. And unfortunately, it's always marginalized and vulnerable communities that suffer the most. The gay agenda, do you know what that rings bells to for me as a post-independent Namibian? Reading stuff of how the Swart Gevaar was used during elections, you know, vote for the national party so that ANC doesn't come into office, or, you know, the Black Consciousness Movement. So that's the same thing they're saying for us, the gay agenda and whatnot. Our government has been in office since independence, SWAPO, right? Yes. And now for the first time, we're seeing them pass anti-LGBTQ bills, right? That is taking away everything that they fought for during in apartheid because they have failed to deliver on their campaign points.
I hear what you're saying, and I see the push and pull, but I also see out of historically really conservative communities, queers are finding liberation and joy in their being. So to what extent are you seeing that from traditionally maybe conservative, traditional African communities, or even Afrikaans and German communities? People are stepping out into their freedom.
I think it would just be like in Namibia, it's like we've really seen the community come out. Like I've been doing what I do for like the last 10 years. I used to be an actor. I still am an actor, but I've been in the industry for a good 10 years and I've never experienced the queer community the way I experience them now. There's such a
diversity,
the biggest diversity. And I get to experience it a lot because of the work I do in drag, where we now have, we have trans queens that are performing. Yeah. We have cisgender heteronormative people that are performing in the opposite gender. We have drag queens, drag kings.
I think sometimes it's difficult for people that are not enmeshed in the conversation that the queer community has to understand it.
Yes.
And maybe an important conversation that must be had, is it everything and anything that is alternative to the Judeo-Christian kind of heterosexual architecture? Is that the queer community?
I think it's not necessarily that. It's part of all of that. The problem right now is that we have this ultimate idea of how things need to be, black or white. It can't be anything in between.
Exactly. And so why is it LGBTQ+?
Because it's not counted into the heteronormative conversation right now. And we've had to create our own safe space where we can be seen, we can be heard, because we're not allowed at the table. So we had to
create our own. It's different, but not
in conflict. Yes.
There is that distinction. That is okay. I think it's very difficult for people to comprehend that. Mm. People that are not necessarily immersed in the conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm closer to the situation, but not immersed in it. So just in terms of creating spaces, safe spaces, not that I think Windhoek is not safe for the queer community, but you create safe spaces for that interaction as well. I just get the sense from your CV, there's drag happening, there's all kinds of stuff happening. Yeah. Talk to us.
Yeah, so Equal Namibia is a youth-led LGBTQ like civil rights movement, and Drag Night Namibia is Namibia's premier drag company, and they host quarterly drag shows as well. So the work we do is very important, especially in this time where, like I said, our government are passing anti-LGBTQ legislations. But it's also been very impactful for a while, and for civil societies that, you know, have really done this work since our democracy was founded. But now safe spaces are more important because there's been about 5 hate crimes, like murders, since the bill was passed last year, July. Yeah, July 2023. The bill is not signed into law by our president or vetoed, but from last year until now, 5 LGBTQ murders. We've never heard about that
at all
in our lifetime.
And where would that be in Windhoek?
Actually across Namibia, but most of them did happen in Windhoek as well, and predominantly to trans women and gay men. So it's the safe spaces are becoming a bit more hostile. And a drag night actually for the first time had to postpone and cancel their June Pride Month show because of the hate speech that was coming from parliamentarians and religious leaders. So we've always been there. We've had protests, drag nights, community events since for years now. But since politicians started weaponizing our rights, they've started to put our safe spaces under jeopardy.
And let us understand that weaponizing our rights in what form, so we could take note of it as well.
Yes, I mean, it's when a member of parliament that belongs to the ruling party, our apparent Liberation Party, goes onto the
SWAPO,
goes onto the floor of parliament and say these gays need to be arrested. Members of opposition party saying that the death penalty.
That's the politicians. They must playing to the traditional
audience. No, they're not. 64% of Namibians are actually tolerant and accepting towards homosexual neighbors, according to AfroBarometer.
They only say things that will get their votes.
Exactly.
They're stupid.
Yes,
sensationalization.
Sensationalization, yes. Okay. Yes, and the media panders to it, and fans and flames
very
of hate.
Much.
And the religious leaders start stoking the flames.
I'm getting a cue here from my timekeeper. Ekrepanga. He's the master of time. So you're just visiting Cape Town, just touching base?
We were actually on a mission. I think a lot of what we do and what we've been very grateful about doing with the different partners that we've been able to collaborate with is how we are able to take what we do in Namibia and kind of take that recipe and copy and paste it in different places around the world. We had the opportunity last year to be in CSD Pride, and this time around we were here now to perform at Honey and Dora with Estella Production, and we're building a little partnership with them for something we want to do.
Solidarity.
There's a universality about it. It's like a common language.
Yes.
Thank you for the insights. how activists are growing LGBTQ plus rights in Namibia.